We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
No, he didn't slam you, he didn't bump you, he didn't nudge you, he rubbed you. And rubbing, son, is racing.
Gentlemen, start your engines.
This is Pit Pass USA, the fastest auto racing location on the internet, with the latest news, the best interviews, and our own brand of commentary. Here's your host, Larry Henry.
Hi again, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Pit Pass USA. Glad to have you on board. Hopefully you had a great weekend. We had a lovely fall weekend here in southern Indiana, right on the banks of the Ohio River. I had a little festival going on with, I don't know how many thousands of people showed up in this small town over the weekend, but it was great. Unfortunately, the racing seasons are winding down all over the country. Grand-Am Rolex Series headed their series at Lime Rock. We're going to talk to the GT champion, Jeff Siegel, later on in the program. NHRA still going strong, but this is the fourth race of six to make up the countdown to one this weekend in Reading, PA. We'll talk to Jack Beckman, Fast Jack, about his win last week at St. Louis and being second in the points there. We'll talk to Tanner Faust, who got the win in Global Rallycross at Las Vegas. And, oh, yeah, let's talk a little NASCAR about what's going on there. And we're going to do it in a little different way this time. Well, of course, in NASCAR, the chase for the Sprint Cup, it is in full bloom right now. And Brad Keselowski right now is taking over the top spot, winning two of the three races run so far. And joined by a gentleman now that knows Brad K a little more than I do, although I've got pictures of him back when he was running a family truck sitting in my motor coach at Michigan International Speedway with his mom and dad and his older brother Brian. And that is the editor, publisher, salesman, advertising manager, just about everything under the sun of Midwest Racing Scene magazine, and that is Terry Fitzwater. Terry, welcome, and Michigan Zone is doing a job right now.
Well, Larry, thanks for having me on. I guess you could play out of the victors. The state of Michigan is going a little bonkers over a local boy who's made good. Brad won two of the first three chase races. Everybody's excited. He came home this summer to his home track where he won his very first race. So Michigan is very proud of its native son and rooting him on in the Cup.
Did you ever think Brad was going to be this good? I remember sitting down, as I mentioned a few moments ago, with his mom and dad and Brian and him all in the motor coach at Michigan International Speedway. I was taping a segment for this show, which at that time was running on the air on Detroit radio. And here's this little scrawny kid, you know, that looks like he's about 5 years old. And here he is. He's a superstar in NASCAR.
He is a superstar, and what he's done, you know, he's got five wins this year, and you look at what he's done since he hooked up with his crew chief a year ago, he's been one of the most dominant drivers on the circuit. You know, Jimmy Johnson gets all the ink at Denny Hamlin, but I tell you what, you cannot underestimate Brad Keselowski in this chase and what he's done. He's got an impressive resume that he's built, and like you said, who saw it coming? Because I think when he first got started in Michigan, Larry, I think if people looked at it, well, he had his dad, Bob, who had won a number of championships at Auto City Speedway. His brother, Brian, had raced around the Midwest. So I think the general feeling at first was, well, of course he's winning because he's being put in really good equipment. But I saw him race at Toledo one time, and a couple moves. He didn't win the race, but the moves he made to get around guys when he had a tire going flat showed that this kid could wheel it. And, the proof's in the pudding. Look at what he's done over his career now.
Absolutely. I was just going back through. I was actually cleaning out shelves, and I came across one of my old shows back in 2004. And Brad was a guest, and he was getting ready to run the family truck at Martinsville. and talking with him, and he talked about his days running the late model at Auto City Speedway north of Flint, and talked about running the Glass City, which was just run at Toledo Speedway, the half-mile track there, and went it a couple of times there, and what the changes were going to be. And, you know, you take a look, in 8 years he's gone from that to being one of the top drivers in NASCAR, but I don't think anybody ever – I don't even think his dad Bob saw this coming.
No, I don't think he did. I think it was Bob's dream someday to be able to run with the big boys. But, you know, even when Bob was running, it didn't cost nearly as much as it did now. But still, when you're on the road and you're raising a family, it's tough to do. But I think it was always the family dream to maybe go to a higher level of racing. They dominated on the east side of Michigan for years. Bob Keselowski was one of the great drivers. When you go to a track, you knew he would be up there, and a guy named Joey Fair, who won a lot of races in the Midwest, he was always a favorite. But to see his son, and he's helped his sons and mentored them, and I think that's what's helped them a little bit. Not so much that they've gotten great equipment, but they've gotten some advice and pointers and do this and do that, and they're smart, and they're both smart boys. Brian and Brad both are very intelligent. They listen to their dad, and they took his knowledge at an early age and saw what it could do, and then they just developed from there. They took his knowledge and from their own experience were able to add on to it. But I don't think Roger Penske ever thought for sure that he was going to get a potential NASCAR champion. I think he hoped for it, but boy, I tell you what, the Michigan owner and the Michigan driver, they sure are a nice tandem this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned Bob Keselowski, his dad, and I talked to Bob after the unbelievable set of circumstances 2 years ago at Daytona, where Brad actually pushed Brian in the qualifier and got him into the Daytona 500, and I saw Bob with two other guys. That was with the entire crew. He's under the car after they had qualified the next day, and talked to him about that. He said, you know, I won ARCA championships and all. He said, I never got a chance to run the Daytona 500 and never thought my two boys would be able to do that, but here they're going to be in the same race. And to him, that was the highlight, not going back to his championship, but that his two boys were going to run in the Daytona 500. So that kind of sums up what you were talking about.
Well, you know, and I think it's a story of the values of the Midwest. Here's a father that just loved his sons, and he sees in his sons, you know, the fulfillment of some of his hopes and dreams. Never planned it that way, but, you know, Bob's a good guy, and his boys are both good people. And to see that, to nurture that and see that come to fruition, you know, it's like a field of dreams type story, maybe a track of dreams, to see that happen. And to watch both those boys run at Daytona, I know that was a special moment. And it was something that made to pop the buttons of a lot of people here in the Wolverine State, to see the Michigan boys do well. Because Michigan's been the home of racing for a long time. You know, you start with back to Henry Ford and Gast and Chevrolet. But NASCAR has always been the province of the South, but those guys drivers for most of its history. But now to have a Michigan boy actually out there doing well, it certainly makes the state racing community feel very proud of the young man.
We're talking with Terry Fitzwater, who is the editor-publisher of Midwest Racing Scene magazine. You can find him online at MidwestRacingScene.com, right? That's the website?
That's correct. Find us on Facebook there, too.
And you can check all of his things. But, you know, when I look at Brad and what all he's done, and you and I were talking before we started this interview, and you were talking about Brad coming up to Auto City Speedway, which, again, north of Flint, and where he really cut his teeth, won a lot of races. He even talks about that when he ran late models. But he spent an entire night there and hours upon hours signing autographs?
Yeah, I tell you what, Larry, you know, our paper covers everything from, you know, from Eldora Speedway to Indianapolis, Anderson, the Little 500. But this year, 2012, the highlight for me was being at Auto City Speedway this year. They called it the Brad. It was the Wednesday night before the second MIS race in August. They promoted it all year. They flew Brad in, and he came in. There was a huge throng in the parking lot. He signed autographs for a couple hours, took pictures, went out on the track. There were a number of veterans that were out on the track that they introduced before the big crowd, and he went out and he shook every one of their hands, and then he gave a nice address to the fans. But then most guys, you know, these guys get big fees to come to the track, and they get in their helicopter and off they go. Brad said, you know, this coming home, I am so proud to be here tonight on my home track, and all you people came out to see me. So I'm just going to sit in the stands. So he went up in the stands,
signed autographs, drank a few beers with the fans, stayed there the whole night till the end of the feature race. And I tell you what, for a town that is as depressed as the Planet area is in Saginaw, Michigan, that area was reaching out for a hero or somebody to say, hey, here's one of our local boys, made good. And when Brad Keselowski came home that night, he hit a home run for that depressed area of the state of Michigan. And, you know, for race fans, I mean, there was a lot of proud people of that young man, and he conducted himself with such class that, you know. And I tell you what, I was very impressed with him, and I told him that when I talked to him that night that, well, I thought what he did was above and beyond. And he was stunned when I told him that, you know, because he genuinely wanted to be there at that track and watch that race that was named after him.
Yeah, it is interesting to see what Brad gives back and really does. And the other thing, too, I know Brad's been has his own team. Of course, we know that in the Camping World Truck Series. But he also runs some late models and has some young drivers. Is there another Brad Keselowski? I mean, not a Keselowski per se, but another one that's working their way through the state of Michigan? And is Brad involved? I know he's had some guys, some very young guys, in some cars of his own there in the state of Michigan and around the area.
Well, there's a couple guys that, you know, and I don't know if the deals are done yet, but so I'm not going to say that this is a done deal with Brad, but there's a couple guys coming up through the state of Michigan that have shown some real potential. One of them is a young man by the name of Trevor Berry. And Trevor started at quarter midgets and stuff like that. He was running open wheel sprint cars this year and just about cleaned up everywhere he raced. Now, I know the night that Brad was back for that race at Auto City, Trevor was there, and Brad's folks and stuff were talking to Trevor about possibly getting him in a ride next year. I don't know if that deal's been cut yet. Everybody's been kind of close-lipped about it. But he's a young kid that has got a lot of talent, and I think from the 16, 17, 18-year-old range, he's probably the top shoe right now at that age. There's some other great drivers that are running in the coming up in the ARCA and running like the Muttsee Racing Extreme Sprint Car Series. But right now, the buzz with the young guys is Trevor Berry right now.
Oh, we'll keep our eyes open, and who knows, maybe he'll be the next one. But it is amazing with Brad, and I'll just say this. A couple of years ago, I was actually sitting in the motor coach with Roger Penske at Phoenix Raceway. And we were actually, I think we were watching the Masters on TV, believe it or not, that day. But the coach and Roger's having a sandwich, and he was telling me how much he loved Brad and how much Brad actually helped with sponsors and volunteered to do things and, you know, would go the extra mile. And I think it kind of shows the way that Bob and Kay and Mom and Dad raised the young man. And it's great to see him and see the success that he is having right now. And I know you enjoy it, and you're getting a lot of mileage from it, too, and a lot of stories and a lot of comments there at Midwest Racing Sync Magazine. Terry, as always, I want to thank you for joining me. We got to get together sometime, and hopefully we'll get through a mild winter and get back to racing come early spring.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you, Larry, for having me on the show. And I guess right now I'm calling for Brad Keselowski to win the championship. So go, Brad.
My good buddy, Terry Fitzwater, who is the editor and publisher at Midwest Racing Scene Magazine, and you can find out more about that again at MidwestRacingScene.com. Has all the information there. It covers the Midwest, Michigan primarily, Northern Ohio, Northern Indiana, and also it's spreading out a little bit. And interesting and fun to talk to him about Brad Keselowski. We both know him. He's known him and the family a lot longer than I have, but it is amazing to think that Brad has won two of the first three races in the Chase, and he's won five races this year. This little scrawny kid I used to know and see at the racetrack. It is unbelievable right now. Well, next up, we turn our attention to the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series. They're running race four, their sixth of the Countdown to One this weekend in Pennsylvania. We'll talk to the winner last week in Funny Car in St. Louis, Jack Beckman. Remember, return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
The job of a professional athlete is never complete. In Life After the Game, host Lamar Campbell will take an inside look at how athletes are making the transition from the professional athletics world to the professional business world. You'll understand the goals, motivations, and personalities that drive these players off the field and in their post-professional career. Tune in to Life After the Game with Lamar Campbell every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Sports and medicine go hand in hand. Quite simply, if you aren't up to your game health-wise, you won't be up to your game on the field. That's where Bruce the Sports Doc comes in. Dr. Bruce Grossinger uses his medical training and experience to bring you a link between sports and medicine, from the latest advances and treatments to discussion behind the injuries of the week. Bruce the Sports Doc and his team of guest experts are here each week to lay it on the line in terms that you can understand. Tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
The NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series continues their mammoth march to the end of the season. Their fourth race in 4 weeks, actually almost their sixth and sixth because of the rain out at Indianapolis, a very busy time, but we're reaching the two-thirds point this weekend when they go to Reading, Pennsylvania, and it's a big, tight battle in Funny Car. This gentleman last weekend was able to close the gap down to 30 points, and that is Jack Beckman, the driver of the Valvoline Next Gen Dodge Charger. Jack, welcome, and congratulations on the big win in St. Louis.
That was so much math, you got me confused, Larry.
I try not to do math in public, but you got to kind of stay up on everything that goes on, or at least you try to. And it has been an incredible run with the rain out at Indianapolis that weekend gone, and right into four races in a row, and everyone's hustling to win a championship. I don't know how anybody is surviving this thing.
It's crazy. You know, I have a wife, a 5- and a 1-year-old, and it was tough to keep calling her and saying, okay, change my airline ticket, got to come back to Indy. We're all together in our motorhome. We're in Pennsylvania right now. So it's kind of neat. We're combining half a family trip with four races. And as you can imagine, with a 5- and a 1-year-old, sometimes I'd rather be on an airplane than in a motorhome.
Well, I don't know. There's been some airplanes lately that finally got grounded. Seats were actually not bolted to the floor. So, you might be better off driving the motorhome.
Well, it's exciting. You know, our daughter won't remember anything about this, but we got a digital camera, so 10 years from now we can show her what we did.
Well, let's talk about first last weekend at St. Louis. You went into the weekend 96 points behind Ron Capps, and that was because you had the week before lost to him by four thousandths of a second, which you can't even calculate in your mind. But then you came back and ran the table at St. Louis to close to within 30.
Yeah, we had to. You know, our round wins are 20 points each. So 30 points represents 1.5 rounds. Going into the race, we were 5 rounds behind the Napa car. It wasn't do or die, but we're kind of starting to feel the pressure. The way that Napa team's been running, they're capable of winning every race they go to. We'd like to think with our Valvoline Next Gen team, we're in the same position. They had the luxury of a 5-round lead. The fact that we were able to chop 3 of that off in one race is fantastic. Now we go into Maple Grove, and again, it's not necessarily do or die, but we can't afford to lose any ground to them.
Well,
the way our car's been running, And it's so rewarding to know that every time you pull into the gates at a racetrack, you got a chance of winning the race. And if we win the race and leave here in first place, there's going to be some happy folks.
Oh, I would think so. And with the getting down to just two races to go, one at Las Vegas, one at Pomona, and you're never quite sure what the weather's going to be. It can be cool. It can be warm. Who knows what's going to happen there? It's kind of a big momentum boost to go into finally a little time off.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you would hit it 6 weekends in a row, and of the countdown, 4 of the 6 races are back to back to back to back, and then all of a sudden we've got 2.5 weeks off, so you're sitting around twiddling your thumbs. Well, while I'm sitting around twiddling my thumbs, I'd love to be the points leader. You know, you look at the scenarios and have to depend on the cars in front of you losing early. I've always said to people, we want to dictate our fate with our car running on the racetrack. You don't want to be back in the pits with your fingers crossed saying, God, if this person loses, if this person loses. And it's not just Ron Capps that we're challenging for the championship. Mike Neff's right there. Tim Wilkerson moved way up last weekend. You know, Johnny Gray's got a car hot. And Robert Hyde obviously showed that win in 4 in a row earlier this year. And I think that was the whole premise of the countdown format, is to bunch the points back up. It's kind of like throwing a yellow flag in NASCAR and then letting us all charge at the last 6 races. So in that aspect, it certainly increased the excitement level of our sport, and now you're seeing the championships nearly always go down into the final day of the season.
But it's not just the guys and gals that are in the countdown to one. You got Matt Hagan, who was the winner last year, was the champion. I mean, he can knock you off anytime. We've already seen that. Bob Task III just got a win a couple of races ago. Alexis DeGioia, she's capable of winning. Tony Pendergon, obviously capable of winning. And they're not even running for the championship this year, so you could go out in the first round.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing that I think is great about our sport. Top five finishes suck. You either win or you lose. And unlike baseball or football, once we go into the playoffs, they don't disallow everybody from running. All the teams that are not in the countdown want nothing more than to ruin the day for the teams that are challenging for the championship. And at Schumacher Racing, we always race heads up. And with 4 funny cars, there's a great chance that we're going to race at least one of our teammates at every single race. And as you've seen over the last 4 races, there have been many Schumacher matchups where the car that really needed the points lost the battle. And that just proves that we run heads up for this. But it keeps it really exciting.
Time with Jack Beckman here on Pit Pass USA, the winner at St. Louis, and right now second in Funny Car in the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series. And Jack, how much did last year being the runner-up kind of set you up for this year and give you the momentum and prove to you that you can do this, that you can win a championship?
I think, Larry, that everybody always would love to think that their experience gives them an advantage going into a situation. And if you think that, it's true. I think it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I won a championship in Super Comp. I'm not a stranger to the points battles here and the stress that goes with them. I think that getting that close and not getting it kind of whets your appetite to go after it even harder. That being said, though, I wouldn't drive any different if we were 15th in points or first. So it can't hurt to have that experience, but I don't know that it necessarily gives us an advantage. You know, you look at Ron Capps. He's been second too many times to count. Does that give him an advantage because he's extra hungry, or is it a potential disadvantage because the thought of that disappointment again? And my answer to that is it's whatever you want it to be. So if you can take that experience, whether it's a good memory or a bad memory, and turn it into a positive, you can use it for you.
And there are so many variables in this. I mean, lane choice, weather conditions, what's the tune-up? Did a part break? Just so many things to go in. It's just not the guy that, okay, waits for the light and puts the foot down.
Yeah, and I love all forms of motorsports. So when I make comments about other motorsports, I'm not saying ours is better. Ours is different. But if you take NASCAR, and you go out there and you start running the race, and the crew chief missed the tune-up, you're going to lose track position, but there's a lot of opportunity to come in and make the car better. Now, you may not win the race, but you can improve track position. And a top five finish in NASCAR is a wonderful thing. In drag racing, if you make a poor tune-up call, chances are pretty good that you just lost the race. There's only 2 cars go down the track, and only one of them gets to come back. And if you did it right, you got to do it all over again. And you have to do it right 4 times before they declare you the winner. So it's a lot of emotional highs and lows, and not just for the drivers. I would never want to be a crew chief in nitro racing. There is just so many ways to screw up the tune-up in one of these cars. And you could have the tune-up perfect, and something happens with the racetrack and makes you look dumb. I'll stick with being the guy in the car trying not to screw up the crew chief's job.
It's got to be a little less stressful, I would have to think, because these guys, you know, they've only got a short turnaround time between rounds. I don't think a lot of people realize it's full out, get it done, get it back out there, get it in line, and get ready to go again. And they've got to have the tune-up right, and conditions are changing throughout the day, and they're chasing that, and which lane am I in, and how can I compensate for this lane? I mean, there's just so many things that go into this.
And you've got 7 mechanics and 2 crew chiefs plus a driver, so 10 people on a team. And when that car rolls in, it's completely rebuilt and refired in 35 minutes. So our crew has to be fast. If they're not fast, we miss the next round. They also have to be perfect. Our engines make 1,200 horsepower per cylinder. If the guy overtorques the head gasket, if they didn't seat the if they don't seat the head gaskets correctly, if they misadjust the valves, if he undertorques one of the rods, if he doesn't zero out the clutch right, any little mistake there magnifies on the racetrack, and you either lose the race or you lose the body off the car. So these guys have so much pressure to be flawless and fast that it's amazing they do it on a continual basis. And then once in a while, we get a surprise in the pits. You'll have a leak or a bad computer line or a timer that doesn't work, and you've got to get that fixed and back up to the staging lanes in time. It's very incredible. I'm still a huge fan of the sport, and I continue to marvel at what they do in the pits and on the racetrack.
Yeah, for those fans that have never been there, to stand there and watch the crews work on the cars, which you can do in the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series, and get up close and personal, and then watch them hustle it back out into the staging area and get them all in the lanes, it is incredible what everybody does. Jack, what about this weekend going to Reading, PA? I mean, it's fall time. The temperatures are beginning to drop a little bit. You had a national record. What do you think?
Oh, you know... It's possible you could see one or two more funny cars join that three-second club. It's possible you could see national records fall. You know, the national record from Top Fuel was set there last year. Now it's been bettered, but it hasn't been backed up to be official. Pro stock cars love running there because of the oxygen-rich air. All that stuff sounds wonderful. I don't mind if we just barely qualify as long as we win the race. You know, qualifying well is important. NHRA started several giving additional session qualifying bonus points, which I'm not a big fan of because they're too big proportionally to a round win, and ultimately our sport is about beating the car in the other lane, not qualifying well. But it is part of the rules package, and our team with the Valvoline Next Gen Charger has been taking big advantage of that. We've got a lot of those little bonus points. But the big points are the ones that you get for winning a round. Those are worth 20 each. It's just that I think you set yourself up for a better race day when you qualify higher. You get lane choice, you get to run a lower qualified car, you get to decide where in the 8 pairs that run first round you want to run the higher you qualify. So there's a lot of advantages to that. I feel pretty optimistic. I think that our team's got a good hot weather tune-up, but I think we clearly demonstrated at St. Louis and at Brainerd that we've got a great cool weather tune-up. That's probably the conditions that we're going to have. I am incredibly fortunate that I get a paycheck to do something that I've dreamed of doing since I was 7 years old. So win, lose, or draw, I will try to smile at the end of that. But I got my family in our motorhome. We've got a trophy from last weekend riding in the back with us. I'd love to add another one this Sunday.
Well, Jack, I want to congratulate you on the win last week. I want to congratulate you on taking the family with you and having a good time. That's really what this is all about. Your racing is great, but it's still about the family, and that's one of the other things I like about NHRA. It is a family affair. Good luck this weekend, and safe return trip home after the race.
Oh, man, I would love to have 2 kids and 2 trophies by the end of this, Larry. Thanks for your time, man. I appreciate your fans tuning in and listening. I love this sport.
Fast Jack Beckman. The winner last week in St. Louis in the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Series in Funny Car, now second in points just behind his Don Schumacher Racing teammate, Ron Capps. We'll see what he does this weekend in Reading, PA. Next up, we'll turn our attention to the Can-Am Rolex Series, which came to a conclusion last weekend at Lime Rock. We'll talk to a gentleman who won the Drivers' Championship, helped win the Team Championship and the Manufacturers' Championship in GT. We will talk to Jeff Siegel. We'll return to Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Motorsports Series at VoiceAmericaSports.com.
off is a beauty.
It's a fly ball deep right field. Back goes O'Neill. He's at
tough
the
shot.
Got it with 2.8 seconds left.
To left. I don't care where they put him. This one is out of here.
From high school to the pros, we cover everything.
Cover everything.
Let your voice be heard. Voice America Sports.
Are you a real sports fan? Get ready to talk football and anything else sports with Kwame Lassiter. Formerly with the Arizona Cardinals, San Diego Chargers, and St. Louis Rams, Kwame's got the experience, so he's prepared to talk sports with you every week on Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk. It's on the Voice America Sports Network every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time. Get ready for unpredictable fun and sometimes a sarcastic look at the world of sports. That's Kwame Lassiter's Sports Talk on the Voice America Sports Network.
When it comes to youth and high school football, listen each week to Coach Al Gross at First and Ten Football. Coach covers vital topics relating to the latest trend on a national level. Join Coach as he interviews personalities from the NFL, NCAA, and the top high school coaches from around the country. Catch all the interviews and get in-depth information online at www.firstandtenfootball.com. Your national resource for youth and high school football. First and Ten Football airs Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Sports.
If you want to talk about the East Coast sports scene, particularly from the Southeast, make sure you tune in to the Jeff Owen Show every Tuesday. Yeah, we'll talk about some of the other teams and news that's out there, but host Jeff Owens and co-host Tasha Humphrey know the inside and out of the Georgia college sports world, and they were born there, raised there, and still live the scene. We'll talk about every sport imaginable. Tune in on Tuesday at 7 p.m. East Coast time, 4 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now, back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA, with Larry Henry.
The Grand-Am Rolex Series concluded this past weekend at Lime Rock Park, just in the beautiful state of Connecticut. And when all was said and done, well, one team ran the table in the GT category, won the Drivers' Championship, the Team Championship, and the Manufacturers' Championship. It was a great run for them with three wins and four runner-ups on the year, and that's the AIM Autosport Team FXDD with Ferrari. One of the drivers, along with Emil Asentado, is Jeff Siegel, who joins me now. Jeff, congratulations on a fantastic year.
Yeah, thank you very much. I mean, it really has been a tremendous year for us. I think, you know, exceeded all expectations that we had, and really, it's an honor to win a championship in competition like the Grand-Am Rolex Series. And obviously, to do it behind the wheel of a Ferrari is really a dream come true for me.
You actually had the Drivers' Championship and the Team Championship locked up before you went to Lime Rock.
Yeah, and as it turns out, it's a good thing that we did, because Lime Rock ended up being a very difficult race for our team. Actually, we matched our worst result of the season with an eighth-place result. But we worked really hard at Laguna Seca to make sure that we did everything we could to try and lock that up early, just in case we had any issues at Lime Rock. And then heading into Lime Rock, we were just squarely focused on making sure that Ferrari locked up the Manufacturers' Championship, which fortunately they did.
It's kind of interesting. You started the year with an eighth-place finish in the Rolex 24 at Daytona, and you finished the season with an eighth place at Lime Rock. It just kind of bookend with it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I definitely much would have preferred to bookend the season with wins, but you know, with all that we've accomplished, it's hard to be too unhappy with that. You know, eighth place probably wasn't representative of what we could have or should have done at Lime Rock, but, you know, Lime Rock is a tight, twisty track, and peculiar things happen there. I liken it to the Bristol of sports car racing. So we knew it was going to be a difficult race, and unfortunately our car got caught up in some contact earlier in the race before I even got behind the wheel. So we were behind the ball from there, but, you know, the guys did a great job to rally and keep the car going and fix some of the damage that was on the car, and to finish eighth was definitely good damage control.
Jeff, you've been a GT champion before in the Rolex Series, but what about this year? As I mentioned before, you got three wins, you had 4 seconds, you had a third, consistently right there all the time. I mean, has this been one of your better seasons?
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's definitely been a spectacular season. You know, winning a race is not easy in this series, and winning three races is pretty remarkable. And when I look at the number of other races where we were pretty close, when I look at Mid-Ohio, when I look at Laguna Seca, where we were second, and you know, within a sniff of the win, it's remarkable. So, you know, for sure, everything went our way this year for the most part. You know, obviously, personally, I would have preferred to have a little bit more luck at Daytona at the 24-hour. I think that would have been a big one, but I guess that's what next year's for.
And one of the things that might be overlooked is with the Game Autosport guys coming on board. They had been running, of course, in Daytona prototypes and actually handed all the operations a group that is up out of Canada. And obviously, they melded pretty well with that Ferrari right out of the gate, even though the problems at the Rolex 24. After that, it was a second, a first, and a first the next three races.
Yeah, I mean, you know, full credit to the team. They did a remarkable job taking a car that they really only got their hands on for the first time in December and making it a championship-winning car. But, you know, I think there's a large amount of credit that goes to Ferrari for building such a remarkable race car and for their Corsicalanti department for the support that we received, because we didn't just receive the car and a pat on the back saying, go get it, boys. We received the car, and we received probably 400 pages of technical documentation from Ferrari about what to expect, how to set the car up, how to maintain the car. And having an engineer or two or three sometimes from Ferrari at the races to assist us has been just a huge boost. So it's definitely been, you know, all a team effort. You know, AIM Autosport, those guys are fantastic. We had great pit stops, great strategy. And then, you know, the partnership that we've formed with Ferrari over the course of the season has made us really powerful.
And it's not that easy, because the Ferrari that we would see, say, run at the 24-hour Le Mans is not the same type of Ferrari that you run, because of the different regulations that the Rolex series has for the GT category. I mean, it is a much different car. Now, it looks similar, but there's various things on it that are a lot different from the car we'd see in the World Endurance Challenge, which, of course, is the 24-hour Le Mans.
Yeah, you know, they're substantially different cars. But I think the common theme there is that, you know, when Ferrari builds a car to go racing, that they support it properly, that they do all the testing. You know that their test car has probably 20,000 miles or more on it just pounding around racetracks, so that they know when things break and what to watch out for and how you've got to prepare. So, you know, they're able to pass all that knowledge on, you know, and it's not a surprise. I mean, Ferrari is a company with racing at its DNA. You know, this is what they do. They don't mess around. So, you know, when they announced that they were building a car for the Rolex series, that didn't mean that they had just started the project. In reality, that meant they had sort of finished the project, but the car was ready once they announced it.
Time with Jeff Siegel here in Pit Pass USA, along with Emil Asuntado, where the winners in the GT category in the Grand Am Rolex Series this year. They won the Drivers' Championship, the Team Championship, and then got Ferrari the Manufacturers' Championship. And Jeff, let's talk about Emil. He really has come on, solidified his driving capabilities. You two just mesh so well together in the car.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, we've been a great partnership. You know, Emil and I have a lot of fun together, and we definitely complement each other very well. But we've also had a lot of success together behind the wheel. I mean, two championships in 3 years is a huge accomplishment for anybody. And I think for a pro-am driver lineup to do it against some factory-backed teams and some teams with really strong pro-pro driver lineups is remarkable. So Emil definitely more than holds up his end of the bargain here. And I think that this Ferrari has worked out very well for him. You know, this is a modern car, if you will. You know, this is a race car that's just been designed in the last year or two, and the technology's come such a long way that I think it's a friendlier car. So it's a car that Emil was able to jump in and right away feel comfortable, whereas I think in some of the manufacturers that we've worked with in the past, it's taken a year or two to really get used to the car. So, you know, I think this car was a really solid stepping stone for him.
And for those that think it might have been easy for you, we take a look. You know, you got the Mazdas going, you got the BMWs, you got the Chevrolets, and of course, you always have the Porsches around. I mean, it's pretty dog eat dog in GT.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the manufacturers are there, not there to make up the numbers. They're there to win. You know, I think when you look at those manufacturers, though, if I'm going to align myself with anybody, I'm happy to do it with Ferrari, because that's a brand that's been racing longer than anybody. I mean, they almost created racing, if you will. But obviously the challenge of going up against the established guys, I mean, when you go into endurance racing, Porsche is a name that's always there. They know what they're doing. So we've had a bit of a learning curve this year to try and match their contemporary sports car experience in the Grand Am Rolex Series. But, you know, I think with this year behind us, we're poised to be stronger as a manufacturer, all the Ferrari teams in the future. You know, we have a whole lot more insight into what it takes to be successful in these races and in this series.
How cool is it, though, to be out there driving in a Ferrari red machine?
It's super cool. What it boils down to, it, every time I go and jump in the car, you know, you still have that little bit of, hey, this is really cool. I get to drive a Ferrari. You know, you kind of forget that you're racing and all the pressures and all that. You look at the car, and you know, in my opinion, it's the coolest looking car out there by, you know, by a large margin. So it's a lot of fun, and it's actually where I sort of started my car racing career, was with Ferrari in the Ferrari Challenge Series. So to have come full circle is great, and, you know, obviously my hope, my ambition is to stay with this manufacturer, with this program for a long time to come.
And now you get to celebrate the spoils of the season, New York City, and you got pictures taken by the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah, it's a great feeling. It's a great experience to be able to enjoy it, and obviously, you know, sharing that experience with the guys from Ganassi, with Pruitt and Rojas, who have won, I think, 5 championships now in Grand Am. You know, to be standing there with them makes it all the more real. You know, those guys, they get it done every year, so you know we're hoping to emulate what they've got going. But you know, really, really enjoying this championship, enjoying New York City as part of this celebration. And you know, I guess the unfortunate part is that as soon as we leave New York, we're back on to preparing for Daytona. So I look forward to that race, but we don't get to stay with this one for too long. We're back to work if we want to do well at that race.
And there's already Grand Am Test is coming up at Kansas Speedway because they've got their road course. And as you mentioned, the Rolex 24 is going to be just around the corner. It's hard to believe, but it's not long till January.
No, absolutely not. I mean, you know, to be honest, we have a longer stretch of off season usually between the Rolex 24 and the second round of the championship than we do right now. So, you know, the car is here at Gotham Hall for the awards banquet. And then as soon as it goes from here, it goes back to the shop and gets broken down and rebuilt up piece by piece with new parts and getting ready for testing, getting ready for that big race.
It is going to be interesting, but it never stops. And just a fantastic season for all of you that are involved, you and Emil, and then all the AIM guys up in Toronto. They've done a lot of work this year and really come on strong and showed what they're made of. Just a great, great run, and we look forward to seeing you, everyone, to kick off the new season down at the Rolex 24 Daytona, which a year from this year, of course, is going to be when everybody's going to be there because we're going to have the combined series in 2014. That's going to be cool coming down the road.
I think it's going to be epic. I think it's going to be, you know, on a whole different level. You know, when you take all the different parties that are involved in North American sports car racing, you push them together, and looking at the possibilities for the schedule and some of the cars and teams and drivers that are going to be there, it's just something I can't wait for it to happen. I mean, you know, I'm excited for 2013, but I'm really, really excited for 2014.
Yeah.
You know, I can't wait for what's coming for North American sports car racers.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast, but so will this coming Grand Am Rolex Series, Rolex 24 at Daytona. I'll be looking forward to seeing everybody down there come January. Again, congratulations to you and everyone involved, and go celebrate.
Thanks very much, Larry. I really appreciate it.
Jeff Siegel, a fantastic year for that AIM Autosport team, FXDD Ferrari 450 in Italia with Emil Asentano. Congratulations to them. And next up, we'll turn our attention to Global Rallycross, where Tanner Faust was the man last weekend in Las Vegas. We'll do that when we continue on Pit Pass USA, part of the Power Up Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
If you're looking for a radio show about boxing, you usually can't find one until you stop by the Voice America Sports Channel. Tune in to Outside the Ring with former world lightweight champion and U.S. Olympian David Diaz. We'll deliver the knockout punches with our guests as we go inside the minds of today's top fighters. We'll throw in discussion of other sports as well from time to time. Outside the Ring with David Diaz airs every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Okay, sports fans, here's your opportunity to discuss football, America's favorite sport. On an annual basis, millions of people attend, watch, and listen to football, both pro and college. Ray Ellis Sports, an internet talk radio show, was developed with the fan in mind. Join host former Philadelphia Eagles and Cleveland Browns strong safety, Ray Ellis, on Voice America Sports every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific for exciting, interactive football discussions from the fans' perspective. Tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific to Ray Ellis Sports right here on the Voice America Network. And let's talk football.
Want to experience football from the perspective of two former players who also have coaching experience? Tune in to Sports Info UM with Daryl Oliver and Sam Sword. We'll talk about the drafts, play-by-play, and even what's happening in the offseason. Daryl and Sam have the connections and the knowledge to bring you the inside stories of the game's past, present, and future. We'll cover the camps, on and off field, and everything else, football and beyond. Sports Info UM is heard Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You're listening to Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry. To leave comments or suggest future guests for the show, email us at LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. That's LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. Now back to more of the fastest show in motorsports, Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry.
Global Rallycross ran their next-to-last race last weekend in Las Vegas, and when all was said and done, it was Ford first and second. But this gentleman was the man that came home first on his Rockstar Energy Ford Fiesta, and that is Tanner Faust. Tanner, congratulations on the big win in Vegas.
Well, thank you very much, Larry. It was a little bit of a monkey on my back. I've been leading the championship without a win, which is always a little bit of a black eye in the season. When you show that you've got a very fast car in the series, but you can't get on top of the podium. So that was a good feeling in Vegas.
And of course, you went up against a Ford driver in Brian Deegan, the general, in the finals, but you were able to outdistance him.
Well, there's a lot going on with Brian and I because we also had the discount tire Triple Crown going. So there was a bonus check waiting for whoever finished ahead. We were tied in that three race series championships. So whoever finished ahead took home $25,000, and so we were both kind of chasing that check down at the end. We had a side bet also of the dollar. It was probably worth just as much as the 25. And it was extra sweet to come out on top, and he's also number two in the championship. So there's a battle going between the two Fiestas.
And as you mentioned, you had not won in Global Rallycross this year, although obviously you've been doing well. What was the difference in Las Vegas for you?
There, I just was able to stay clean. The tracks in GRC, I raced in Europe in ERC in an almost identical Rockstar Fiesta. And the tracks there are half gravel, half pavement. There are jumps, but they're kind of natural features of the tracks, but they're purpose-built rallycross tracks. And here we're working within the NASCAR tracks, building these features, building the jumps, putting the dirt in. And the jump is massive. Both jumps in the track are very hard on the car. So it's a matter of just really staying clean all weekend on those jumps, setting the suspension up in a way that the car stays safe and doesn't come from 15 feet in the air down to flat asphalt. And I was lucky enough to do that all weekend, qualified first, which is very important in the series, and then just kept my nose out of trouble and got a good start in the final. That's really the key, I think.
Well, you also had a secret weapon, Marcus Granholm, who was doing some spotting for you, a gentleman that unfortunately got hurt in the X Games, or he might have been able to take the win because he, of course, is a two-time WRC champion.
Yeah, that is he was the secret weapon. And he was spotting. I don't think Marcus Granholm has ever been a spotter on the radio for anybody, so I'm pretty honored to have that to be his first. But he was really valuable, especially in the final. He's a guy who knows how to win. He's been in motorsports for a very, very long time, and he's been on the podium on WRC, which is an extremely competitive championship, 61 times he's been on the top of the podium. So he knows how to take home the top prize. And sitting on the final line there as we're getting started, I was telling him a couple little things that I thought I noticed about the car driving in, and his mentality is just really good. He's like, look, at this point, there's nothing you can do about it. Just have fun. Get in the first corner and have some fun. And that's exactly what I did.
Well, the other thing you had to do was survive several red flags. That had to be disconcerting.
Yeah, there was a lot going on. I mean, when Burton went off the ramp, I saw the tracks. You know, I was behind him. He was in a Subaru. He came up short on the jump. He bailed out on the way up the takeoff ramp. And this is a big, long metal ramp. And I saw four tracks slide sideways up the ramp, and he just dumped right over the edge into the gap. So it's a good thing he didn't land on anybody. But really a gnarly crash. And, you know, you obviously don't like to see that kind of stuff happen. And it's a reality of having that giant gap jump. But again, we were able to keep the Fiesta cool. It never overheated, never had a problem with the gearbox, never had a wheel go wrong. And that, you know, that's the way to win those GRC events.
How has the development gone on the Ford Fiesta? Obviously pretty well with what you've been able to do and everybody else who's been driving the car.
Well, this year, we've kind of had a multifaceted program going. So we've had 5 cars running in the States, which is a lot. Probably difficult to develop a car with so many cars on the same team. But I've been running a single car in Europe. And over there, we have quite a bit of time on the track and quite a bit of man hours available with one car to change things, try things, build things between the races, and really evolve the car throughout the season. So from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, the car's gotten a lot better, especially the European car. And when we learn lessons in Europe, the very next weekend, those bits are being built into the U.S. cars, and so all 5 of us benefit over here in the States. So it's a moving process, but the fact is that the rest of the teams now, where Ford has been dominant since the beginning of the sport here in the U.S., and that's been going on for a few years, really, the rest of the teams are getting extremely fast. And there were 9 cars in qualifying in this event within half a second. So a lot of the other manufactured cars are coming right up to speed, and it's turning into it's really great racing.
We're talking with Tanner Faust. And Tanner, I guess we should congratulate you, too. You've mentioned the European Rallycross. You missed 3 events, including the one last weekend, because you were doing Global Rallycross, but yet you finished 3rd in the standings. You've got to be proud of that.
Yeah, it's tough when you start a championship and then with GRC had some schedule changes and there's just overlap. And, you know, I really wanted to go after both championships this year. Finished 2nd in the championship last year after doing all the events and was sitting in 2nd place this last weekend in the European Championship before I was overtaken by Liam Durand. So, still proud to be on the podium there, having missed, you know, 30% of the season. But man, it's, as a driver, when you start a championship, you really want to finish it.
One more race to go in the Global Rallycross, and it's very interesting. It's going to be back in Las Vegas, but it's around the SEMA show, which, of course, is where all the manufacturers, it is one of the biggest shows in the world. They're going to be there to get to see this Global Rallycross. Now, that's got to be big.
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because all the Global Rallycross events this year have been in front of fans that really had never seen these kind of cars race. It's been in front of NASCAR fans. And it's been great. The NASCAR fans are just car people, just like, you know, every other racing fan. And man, they are really passionate about the sport and really got interested in Rallycross. It was such a great experience being with the NASCAR tracks. Now we go into, the aftermarket tuner car trade show of the world, basically SEMA, where there'll be 150,000 people floating through Vegas going to this convention center. And these are people that are used to seeing turbocharged cars, used to seeing small cars race, but also, like you said, all the big wigs of all the major companies in motorsports. So it should be interesting. The race is right across the street from the convention center, so it won't be in the NASCAR track. That'll be the first time this year. And so the configuration could be, you know, something unique for us and could be fun for the drivers.
And that's a big race, too, because you've not wrapped up the championship yet, so you can't falter there.
That is absolutely true, unfortunately. Anything can happen. And so, you know, Deegan will be there, and he's one of the toughest competitors I've ever met, and he will be absolutely fighting for it. And there's a lot of other guys that have battles for their position in the championship. So it'll be a hard-fought race for sure.
Well, Tanner, again, I want to congratulate you on getting the win in Global Rallycross in Las Vegas, and congratulations on really a stellar season in European Rallycross. To finish 3rd and miss 3 races, that is outstanding and shows just how good you were this year.
Well, thanks a lot, Larry. I appreciate it.
Tanner Faust, maybe the busiest man in show business, the winner of Global Rallycross last weekend in Las Vegas. It was exciting. Hopefully you saw it on TV. I was flipping by, and there it was on ESPN, so I was kind of watching it last weekend from Vegas. Missed out on the European Rallycross Championship, but had a great year. And, I interrupted him. Actually, they were doing some more of their Top Gear shows. They were actually shooting that. He is busy as all get out, but one of the best and a very, very exciting driver, and someone, I tell you what, you will enjoy talking to. Well, I'd like like to thank all my guests here tonight. My old buddy Terry Fitzwater, Michigan, or make that Midwest Racing Scene magazine, changed the names on that not long ago. Also, of course, Jack Beckman, Jeff Siegel, and Tanner Faust. Thank you for listening to the show. Remember, you can always email me, LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com, LarryHenry@PitPassUSA.com. We are on Twitter at PitPassUSA, and we would love to have you follow us along there. We're also on Facebook, PitPassUSA with Larry Henry. Thank you for being with us. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. Tell your friends about it. We're available on iTunes, or you can catch us also on a replay at PitPassUSA.com or VoiceAmericaSports.com. Have yourself a great week. Take in a local race if they're still racing in the area, and we will see you 1 week from today right back here on PitPassUSA, part of the Power Motorsports Series on VoiceAmericaSports.com.
For this week, time to get ready for another great week of racing to talk about next time on Pit Pass. Tune in next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, for another fast-paced 200-mile-per-hour edition of Pit Pass USA with Larry Henry on Power Up, your motorsports channel.